Way back when I was thinking about starting a high-ticket dropshipping business, the one thing I was looking for was someone to show me what one of these sites looks like. So John and I have done that for you at dropshipbreakthrough.com/go. So head to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go and watch the free training.
Welcome to the Dropship Podcast, where you'll learn how to build and grow a high-ticket dropshipping business and hear stories from successful e-commerce entrepreneurs. Let's kick this thing off. Hey, welcome to the Dropship Podcast. And I'm going to start it off hard right away, John. Is dropshipping dead?
Is it dead in 2024?
Is it? Yeah. I wanted to go like right into that. Like, is dropshipping worth it in 2024? Something we've been getting asked a lot. And like, you know, I didn't really want to put out the same podcast every year that we've been doing this show. But every year we get asked the same question. And it usually starts with, is dropshipping dead?
Yep. I know. It's amazing. I think we've both been doing this. I mean, I've been doing this for 10 years. You've been doing it for getting close to 10 years, 9 years, right? And I can think back every year, you see somebody or people out there online, whether it's on social media or YouTube or wherever, saying, dropshipping's dead in 2024. Do this instead. Or headlines like that, you know, every single year. And it's the same with other things. Like, how many times have you heard email marketing is dead? Blah, 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 right? I mean, it's just one of those things that I think... And I think it comes from a misconception of what dropshipping really is, I think. Like, people tie dropshipping often to things like AliExpress dropshipping. And that's when people think of what is dropshipping, they think of that rather than, you know, when you break it down to its core. You know, I mean, dropshipping has been happening for, I don't know, 20 years, 30 years, probably. It's probably been around for about as long as e-commerce has been around, right? Because it's a method of fulfillment. It's not tied to, like, you know, Obolo, AliExpress, DSs, any of that sort of stuff. Those are little tricks and hacks that people have associated with dropshipping in recent years. But that's not really what dropshipping is about.
It kind of gave it a name in the new digital era. Like, you know, when we started, YouTube wasn't really that big of a thing. We're old. Social media wasn't even that big of a thing either. But back then, there was no name to it. And then it became like this thing you could do where you ship stuff in e-packets from China, you know, run Facebook ads. And I think that's what it got that name. It got like, this is the side hustle of dropshipping, not what dropshipping is, which you said is just a method of fulfillment in e-commerce. But look, I think you're right. In fact, I think this might be, honestly, one of my favorite years for dropshipping. There's just too many people who, like, the whole market is reset. There's been a lot of people who... had great times in COVID. I think a lot of businesses had great times and a lot of people came crashing back to earth. And I think now would be a great time to actually get your business going and kind of ride the wave back up as we move into, you know, probably not a zero interest rate phenomena world again, but another world where, you know, money's going to be cheap. Like, people are still buying things. I think this might be one of the best years ever in dropshipping for me, at least. But you got to do it the right way. Like, it's not the DSers. It's not the, you know, what might actually be dead, the low ticket dropshipping. It's high ticket dropshipping from vendors, from suppliers, from brands that exist in your local country. For me, that's USA. For you, it's Australia. We got students all over the world.
Yeah. And I remember, like, back when the whole, that what we call low ticket, the AliExpress, the DSs, all of that stuff kind of first popped up, like, five years ago. You saw all these dudes who were like, oh, we're making heaps of money doing this, blah, 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 kind of pop up overnight. I don't see those guys anymore. So, like, I'm willing to put my hat in the ring and say that stuff is dead. I don't know that it was ever really a big thing, but like in a long-term thing, but I would say that's dead. But dropshipping itself, I mean, let's face it. Like, the biggest e-commerce companies in the world have dropshipping. You know, products are dropshipped everywhere. I go online to do my groceries at Woolworths in Australia, and there are products in there catalog that are drop shipped from marketplace partners, blah, blah, blah. Like, that's drop shipping. It ain't going anywhere. The biggest companies in the world drop ship, have drop ship products that they sell. So the notion that drop shipping is gonna die or is dead is just marketing hype that people try to push out online to support some other agenda that they have. And to your point, if you do it right, it works now, it worked yesterday, it's gonna work tomorrow.
Well, the funny part is, like, I actually dug down. You guys know if you listen to this, I love keyword research. And so I dug down into some of these. You'd be shocked at, like, how many of these questions came up right around there. You type in, is dropshipping dead? You're going to find, is dropshipping still profitable? Can you still make money with dropshipping? How much does the average dropshipper make? And I think, like, look, we've recorded nearly 300 podcasts, John. I think that we've answered a lot of this stuff, but maybe like, can you still make money with dropshipping? I think, you know, later in this episode, we'll probably walk through some of our students who have been on the show that we can direct you to specific episodes. But I keep going back to, like, I think this is one of the best times to start a dropshipping business. There's plenty of money to make in dropshipping.
Yeah. And look, I mean, there is plenty of money to make. It's still profitable, at least when you look at it from the way that we mentioned, like working with local suppliers, high quality products, higher ticket products, like margins. There's the odd brand, the odd supplier here or there where their margins might have changed over the years. But by and large, like when I look at the margins that suppliers are presenting in general, and we have the great experience of being able to look across a lot of people's experience with starting these businesses, you know, people who are in our course, people we coach, all of this sort of stuff, as well as businesses that we're in as well, where we see this. Like the margins that suppliers are putting out there as their wholesale margins, they haven't really changed. Like I remember when I started 10 years ago, you know, 30 to 35% gross was kind of what you were expecting.
Are you enjoying the show? Are you getting loads of value? That's amazing. If you can do John and I one quick favor, hit the subscribe button, hit the follow button, leave a review. All of these things help us to reach more people, change more lives. And it's one small thing we ask of you. So again, hit that subscribe button, hit the follow button if you're on a podcast player, and leave a review if you're on iTunes or if you're on Spotify. We appreciate it very, very much.
Right. And there would be some either side of that. There'd be some that were like 20%. There'd be some that were like 40%. And maybe you'd get even above 40% from time to time. We picked up a new business, you know, last year. Margins are the same. Like we've got 50% margins in that business. We've also got some 20%. We've got some 30%. We've got some 35%. Like it hasn't changed at all. You know, the costs, I think, you know, once again, CPCs on places like Google and stuff like that, they change, but I don't think they've changed that much. Like the cost of making a sale, I don't think has shifted significantly. So to me, is it still profitable? I'm going to say it's more or less still as profitable as it was when I started.
The crazy part is I've been in so many markets to this point, and yet we still have many new students who continue to show me new markets, and they're all, like you said, about all the same, about profitable, right? So I started out selling 3D printers on the3dprinterguy.com, right around that 30% margin place. I've sold standing desk, I've sold golf simulators, I've sold tiny house supplies. I've helped in a lot of industries. I've consulted in a lot. They're all about the same. Now, I've been in some that suck, and I've talked about them on here before, right? Like pitching machines, baseball pitching machines. Not good. Not great margins. But for the most part, by and large, like you said, right around 30% margins. And then really, to hammer this home, I think at the end of the day, the average dropshipper takes home 15%. I don't want to say what they make in revenue because everyone does different revenue. We've got students, in the five digits, in the 50K range, in the 100K a month. I've been well over a million a month. You've been well over a million a month. And so but at the end of the day, it's 15%. So just do the math on that. Hey, whatever sales I'm doing, 15% of that is typically what you're going to end up taking home from a dropshipping business.
Yep. So net in the pocket. Yeah. I think that's the same. If you think about, you know, there are hundreds of thousands of suppliers out there for the types of products that we recommend that people should drop ship with. And yes, like it's like any group. There are some that are great, there are some that are average, and there are some that are not great, right? Like if you put any group of anything that people do together, you're going to see that. And it's no different. There are definitely some suppliers out there, and there are a small number of niches where margins are not profitable. And as long as you know, like, how to approach that and how to identify and that sort of thing, it's like, it's not a problem. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not a significant problem. And that's one of the things I love about doing it the way we do it is it's just so stable. Like, I don't see in 10 years, small things have changed around this sort of stuff, but fundamentally, I don't think it's changed significantly.
It hasn't for us, right? Like, because we're selling high ticket products, right? I often like to do the analogy of, let's say you want to do $30,000 a month in sales. If you're selling a $30 product, you need to sell 1,000 of those. If you sell a $3,000 product, you need to sell 10 of those. And I don't think anyone listening to this who maybe hasn't started yet can't wrap their head around the idea that they could make 10 sales in a month. Like, That sounds much more achievable than saying, hey, I'm going to go sell 1,000 of this widget. But I bet that's where, like, again, doing more keyword research, I found, is dropshipping hard? As one of the next questions we wanted to answer on this podcast. Probably sounds hard when you're like, hey, you're going to need to make 1,000 sales next month in order to, you know, even get close to what you made at your job. Whereas if I said you just need to make 10 sales to do 30,000 in revenue, that might sound a little less hard.
Mm. Yeah. I mean, I think it significantly does. And I never want to use, I mean, the opposite of the word hard is, of course, easy. And I don't think that's a term that you ever want to use when it comes to business, because I don't think any business is easy. But if you, compare different methods of doing drop shipping, having to, you know, make 10 sales a month, just regardless of the price of the sales or anything, like, I think it's hard to understand when you've done it, never done it before, like the significant difference between having to generate 10 customers versus 1,000, right, to get to the same revenue number. Generating 1,000 customers, regardless of the price point, primarily in the beginning, you're going to be using paid traffic. That's actually a really, drop the F-bomb in there. That's a really massive amount of traffic that you have to be able to generate. And to be able to generate that much traffic to produce that volume of sales profitably, like, that's like kind of A-level marketer skill level, right? Like, that is hard. I'm not going to lie. That is real hard. Your chances of doing that out of the gate as a beginner are very low. And this is one of the reasons why some of the models we mentioned earlier never really survived, because if you're a pro marketer, you can probably do it. But most people who want to start dropshipping, who want to change their life, you know, who want to get out of their 9-to-5 job, you're not going to walk into it as a pro level marketer. Like, it takes experience and practice to be able to do that, and a lot of money, right? You know, that's a decent budget on the table every month. Like, that's a 5-figure budget. Advertising budget to generate 1,000 sales, right? It's tough. That's hard. But having to go out comparatively, having to go out and find 10 sales to produce the same amount of revenue, no, that's less hard. I'm not going to say easy, but that's less hard.
You know, it's a phrase we don't use around here, right? Business itself is not easy, but this process is simple. We've walked through it on this podcast. We'll probably walk through it again in future podcasts. Some of the steps are hard, though. What would you say is actually the hardest part for a beginner when it comes to high-ticket dropshipping?
You know, I think people think it's harder than it is before they get into it. Like, when you think about the individual steps, I think when people go through and do most of them, actually do it, and then you ask them to look back, how did this compare to how you thought it was going to be? People would say, I thought that was less challenging. So one that comes up a lot for people is, I think, finding and getting approved with suppliers is going to be really hard. I'm really fearful of that. And then you talk to people who actually go out and do it. You know, they talk to a few suppliers and they go, oh, wow, that was nowhere near as bad as I thought it was going to be. That felt better. That I got through that, once again, in a less hard way than I thought I was. And so I don't actually think the steps are that hard. I think for most people, it's really the you know, getting over the mindset stuff to get started and take those first steps and then do it consistently. I actually think I think anybody can do this, the steps involved in building a dropshipping business, you know, building a website, getting some supplies, learning how to run ads. None of this stuff is rocket science. I mean, you and I are very average blokes. We've both done it successfully, right? There's nothing special going on here, guys. And when you look at, you know, some of our, you know, great student examples as well, I would say the same thing. Like, none of these people are, like, you know, exceptionally, you know, unordinary or anything like that. Like, you know, the steps themselves are not hard. It's really just making the decision to start, which is going to feel hard, and then doing it and just doing it consistently until it works. I think that's really the hardest part. And that's going to be true of any business that you can get into, right? That's not a dropshipping thing. Like, just making yourself do the things and do the things enough so that they work. I mean, for me, that's the biggest challenge of business, right? Even today, it's always the biggest challenge.
Yeah, I think you nailed it with the work, right? Which is between your, like, get out of your own way and just do the steps necessary. you're going to have to do the work. What does Hormozzi say? The work needs doing, right? Like someone has to do the work. Find the person, find the products they buy, find the suppliers, reach out to the suppliers, build the website, you know, run ads to the products, get the right traffic to the right pages, convert those people. You got to do the work and you have to do each step in order and do what's necessary. But, you know, your BS is going to show up along the way. You're going to try to talk yourself out of it. And to me, that is the hardest part. All right. Last question I sourced for this podcast, John. Can you make $1,000 per month dropshipping? I almost changed this. I was like, I couldn't believe this question. It was only $1,000. And then again, $1,000 meant the world to me. When I worked at a Walmart distribution center driving a forklift for $20 an hour in 2015, another $1,000 would have really changed things for me. I think, you know, $1,000 isn't what $1,000 was in 2015 anymore. Maybe this should be a bigger number. Yeah, and I almost changed it to a bigger number. But the answer is a resounding yes, that you can make $1,000 per month drop shipping. Honestly, I think if you just wanted this to be like a side thing where you didn't necessarily do tons and tons of work, $1,000 a month is reasonable. Whereas if you wanted to put the work in and build a business, something that you're proud of, something you can go share with your grandma, that's well north of $1,000 per month.
Oh, absolutely. And if you're doing high ticket dropshipping as well, I mean, this is infinitely possible. Like, I mean, we have one product on one of our stores where if I sell just one product a month, the profit on that is like $1,500. Just one product. So if I sell that one product, one order a month of one product, even taking out the cost it's going to be to sell that product, you're still going to have $1,000 net. Hmm. And that's just from selling one product. So like, can you sell one product a month? Like that's literally could be your bar. If you're sitting there thinking, can I make that extra $1,000? You know, as a side income, side hustle, whatever you want to call it. Can you? Yeah, man. $1,000. Yeah. That's like when you're high ticket dropshipping. Yeah. And it's not going to take you, it's not necessarily going to take you a long time to get to that point either.
I mean, using the example from earlier, let's not even do 10 sales. Let's say it's a $3,000 product. You know, you're on the lower end, you have 20% margins. So that's $600 when you sell one, and you needed half that to go acquire the car. You had to spend $300 on ads to acquire it. So you made $300 every time you sold one, just over three sales. So four sales and you are north of the $1,000 mark. You know, can you do the work necessary to acquire four sales a month on a $3,000 product? Absolutely. I know the question's going on in your head right now. What are $3,000 and who buys $3,000 products? Well, yeah. I encourage you to, you know, dive deeper into our catalog. We've talked a lot about this. You know, I've mentioned quite a few of the products I've sold. We have a whole episode on successful dropshippers, but I wanted to mention a few successful dropshippers right here in this episode that we've actually had on the show here. So I pulled a few of these aside, and this is not all of them by any means, but Holly's episode is called Zero to 500K in 5 months. She's episode 212. So if you're on a podcast player, check out 212. If you're on YouTube, just look up Zero to 500K in 5 months. Heck, YouTube will probably recommend it to you after you watch this video. John, our buddy John, was on here episode 252. He did zero to 750K in 9 months. Matt was just on the show episode 286. He did 2 million in 2 years. Drop shipping. John Murphy was on your episode 34 in a niche you will hear John and I tell you never to go into, e-bikes, and he made it work. I believe he had 8 figures lifetime in that business. Rob was episode 152. He had a 50K month in just month 6 when he started. And then, of course, if you want to hear John's story, my story, that is episode number 9 and episode number 15 way, way back in the archives of this show. They've been replayed here as well if you want to check them out. But there's a lot of evidence. There's a lot of people, you know, doing big numbers like you see there. And there's a lot of people who are super silent, speak up every once in a while, and we're kind of blown away with the numbers they're doing. We have lots of students inside of our community. There's just so many, there's a lot of evidence of successful dropshippers, and there's very few evidence for non-successful dropshippers. Now, the people I run into who are not finding success when it comes to dropshipping, they're doing that Oberlo, DSers, AliExpress stuff. But I don't feel like we have that same level of people speaking out saying dropshipping doesn't work when they're trying something that has been around, like you said, for 20 plus years, which is high ticket dropshipping, selling products from brands you've definitely heard of to people local to you.
Yeah. I think if like people ask this question all the time, like, you know, like what do you got to do to be successful? Like what's the success rate and all of this sort of stuff? You know, we get asked that a lot. And I think for me, the answer always is when I look at the people, you know, that we've worked with, that we've shown how to do this the right way, the method of drop shipping that has always worked and still works and will still work into the future, for the people who get in and do the work and do it consistently for 6 months, for 12 months, they're producing profit. They're profitable. So it works. It's working for them. You know, the people you've listed off are great examples of that. But there are plenty more out there. And the thing that is common amongst them all is that they just got in and did the work. They did the steps. They did them properly. They did them for long enough. And, you know, they get the results. And that's all you've got to do. And so, you know, if you want to get in and find out what the first steps are, start seeing what your path looks like, we've got a free training you can go and take right now. It's about an hour long. Will take you through all the steps in building one of these businesses with an actual example of a real live business. We walk you through in the training. Go to dropshipbreakthrough.com/go, sign up there, get access to the training, and start taking those first steps.
Thanks for listening to the Dropship Podcast. You can find all the show notes for this episode at dropshippodcast.com. And if you're ready to take the next step in your dropshipping journey, we invite you to join us inside Dropship Breakthrough, where John and I will walk you through step-by-step in starting your own high-ticket dropshipping e-commerce business. But that's not all. Dropship Breakthrough will also teach you everything you'll need to know to grow your business and take it to the next level. So head over to dropshipbreakthrough.com and sign up for our free training that will help you take the first steps towards building and growing your own profitable high-ticket dropshipping business.
John and I both love business, think about it all the time, can't turn it off, and don't know why anyone would want to. And because of that, we started a second podcast where we can talk about everything we've ever wanted to talk about in business, not just dropshipping. We like talking about all things business. So if you want to hear John and I talk about all sorts of stuff, from camel meat dropshipping businesses to PDF dropshipping to a guy gambling $100 every single day on YouTube Shorts, to how OnlyFans taught us lessons in business. We're all over the place over there, but it's a really fun podcast. So if you're a podcast listener, you love John and I, head over to your podcast player of choice and look for the Low Bar Podcast. You'll see a blue image and you'll see a cartoon version of John and myself. And go back and start at episode one. I promise you will not regret this. This is one of the more fun projects that I have done recently. I know John's having fun too, so we'd love it if you joined us. Check out the Low Bar Podcast on YouTube or wherever you prefer to listen to podcasts.